Traveling Mystery Solvers Union Local 236 presents Chicago Unbelievable with Adam Seltzer and Hector Reyes. Check out our books, our tours, and our blog at ChicagoUnbelievable.com. Hi, everybody. Adam here. I thought this was going to be the last Weird Chicago podcast when I first recorded it. It is really the first Chicago Unbelievable podcast that I did with Hector. We're actually going to be recording some new ones very soon. I'm going to be remaking a couple of the older ones just to get Chicago Unbelievable off the ground. But starting as early as next week, there will be brand new podcasts from Hector and I here at Chicago Unbelievable. I'm really looking forward to this. To start with, this is the one that we did back in September of our latest trip to Bachelor's Grove. I'm going to break it up into a couple of parts and put more of it in here than was before. Remixed and remastered. Enjoy, everybody. This is Adam from Chicago Unbelievable. Went out to Bachelor's Grove yesterday with Hector, who was my first driver on ghost tours. Now, I've never really fit into the stereotype of ghost hunting myself. I don't look like a Motley Crue roadie. I have no tattoos. I don't go around saying, dude, that place is freaking haunted. I don't even have an origin story. I mean, you're really supposed to have a story about how you never believed in ghosts. You were a total skeptic until one day. But, you know, I don't really have anything like that. I am too worried about my reputation to go around saying stuff like that, but Hector is not, so... Out here with Hector,
hey,
who is familiar to you if you have read my book, Your Neighborhood Gives Me the Creeps, True Tales of an Accidental Ghost Hunter. Mm-hmm. Hector was actually my first driver when I first started doing ghost tours back about 5 years ago.
Right.
And we had some pretty good times back in those days.
Some great times.
We had some great times. So it's, what were some of your favorite moments of the days when we were out running ghost tours together?
Well, mostly the bad jokes that we were telling and people, like, you know, respond in such a unusual manner. And the fact that, like, we get so much evidence from certain areas, like, Hull House and, remember that time when we were behind the Oriental Theater and the girl's head was... sticking out of the doorway.
Yeah.
There was nobody there. Jeez.
That was freaky. Yeah. I've been able to explain about 99% of what happens on the tours, but the ones that, when that other 1% is almost invariably with Hector.
Mm-hmm.
One joke I just got to remember is, remember we used to have, like, pull up alongside people and have everybody make ghost noises out the door? Like, woo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember when we did it to that Amish couple?
Oh my god, yeah, that's... They looked angry.
They were not amused, man. I thought I was gonna pull a knife on me. Like, I'm a cut thief.
That was awesome, yeah. I think he might have murdered his wife and now he's gonna be going to another haunting.
Alright.
Thanks, Adam.
We're always looking for more attractions to add to the ghost tours around here.
Exactly.
But just as we're kind of going back to our roots here, back to the very first Weird Chicago podcast, as Hector and I are actually now walking through the Rubio Woods Forest Preserve towards the infamous Bachelor's Grove Cemetery.
Which I'm not happy about, but I'm being forced to do it anyway.
Yeah, well, I told him, you know, I want to do another podcast. You know, it's Halloween season. I'm only doing a couple of tours this year myself, and I think after this might be my last podcast. I'm kind of turning the keys over to Ken after this.
Oh, boo.
Well,
but yay, Ken.
Yeah, good for you, Ken.
Yeah.
But, they were just walking along. If you might remember, we did the very first Weird Chicago podcast was in Bachelor's Grove. The weird thing that a lot of people have written to me about is when we're standing over by the foundations of one of the old houses out in the woods.
Which is not supposed to exist.
Right. Mm. We'll get to that in a second, but there's the sound you can hear on the recording. There's a sound that sounds a lot like a creaking door. A lot of people have written to me about that. That's the thing. I did get some information lately. A guy sent me an old document stating that it was called Bachelor's Grove originally because the area was first settled by bachelors who built what they call bachelor huts, little one-room houses that were, you know, just big enough for the one person, which also kind of explains a lot of the foundations of the houses that we run into around here. They were very small from what we can tell.
Right.
But that doesn't explain the famous disappearing house story.
Oh, no doubt.
Quite a lot of people have reported seeing a two-story Victorian house somewhere out in these woods. Exactly where varies from person to person, but they always seem to describe the house exactly the same way. It's a white Victorian farmhouse that, as you get closer and closer, some people say it gets smaller and smaller. Usually you can see a soft light in the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the stories that goes around is that it was the old
caretaker's house, and the caretaker apparently started hearing voices in the cemetery telling him to kill his family. Now, he had to be a little bit nuts just to be hearing those voices to start with, but being a lot nuts, he actually listened to them, then hanged himself from the frame of the house. Now, there is absolutely no evidence that this is actually true. It's just one of those stories. The official reason why there's no evidence for it is that the town was so embarrassed by it that they ordered that all records of it be stricken. And if that's true, they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah, because they managed to, like, wipe out every single record we looked at.
Yeah, we haven't found a thing about that. And it's also just one of those things, you know, sometimes they don't really do the paperwork on these things, and other times the story just doesn't happen to be true. Mm-hmm. Now, if you read my book, Seltzer's First Theorem, is that every remotely spooky place where people sneak in to get wasted will eventually show up on a TV show or website about hauntings. Mm-hmm. Bachelor's Grove is really kind of a classic example of this. This was a very popular place in the 60s and 70s for beer blasts, pot parties. There are a couple of mentions of this actually in the Chicago Tribune. In the 1960s, the police out here found the evidence that there had actually been a bonfire inside of the cemetery, and in the pile of rubbish they found a coffin hinge and a coffin handle.
Whoa.
Nearby there was a grave that had been dug up where they found the coffin under 4 inches of dirt. Hmm. A few years later, in the early 1970s, 7 teenagers were arrested in the process of digging up one of the graves.
Wow.
They said that they were there on a lark. It's like, how boring did Midlothian have to be in those days? Hey, let's go dig up a grave.
Exactly.
I got nothing better to do. Haven't smelled anything terrible in a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we are now inside of the cemetery.
Oh, that creepy feeling is back.
Yeah. You know, I never get that in this place.
I always do. And we are with, again, in good company.
There's always people. There's always people here this time of year. Afternoon.
And, of course, you can always see that all the, a lot of the stones are been,
yeah, I've never seen the place quite so overgrown with weeds and,
Well, you gotta remember that they're gonna, like, destroy this area.
Yeah, so this is kind of targeted, I believe. A while ago, we were out here, and there were actually orange spray paint all over the place. It kind of looked like they were just going to do away with it.
Yeah.
Here we are at the Fulton gravestone. People who've lived in the area for a long time say when they were kids, there was still a woman named Granny Fulton or Grandmother Fulton that was seen all around the place. Now we're at the infant daughter grave. Hector, you've got some stories about infant daughter.
Infant daughter is one of my favorites because there was at one time. Right now it doesn't have it, but there's always I don't know what the word I'm looking for. Somebody put something there to remember. Like, there's always toys here and such. At one time, there was an empty candle. Somebody had lit a candle here. And there was a group of us, and people were throwing quarters into the candle, the empty black glass. And people were like, what's going on? And people were constantly doing it. And I came by and said, oh, let me try. So I tried to put the quarter in. It wouldn't go in. Another person tried it, same thing. We're like, what's going on? Then we did a tally, and we discovered that everyone who can get the quarter in had a child. They were parents. Huh. The ones that could not do it didn't have any children that they knew of. So we thought that was really interesting because we were just going crazy and trying to do it. It wasn't happening.
Yeah. For those who can't really picture it, this is kind of weird. It kind of looks like somebody's been digging out around the infant daughter grave.
Yeah,
it is. Like they're going to try to steal it or something.
This looks a lot different than it was earlier.
Yeah. There's this one grave here. For those who don't know, we're in Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. This is a famously, supposedly haunted cemetery. It's pretty much abandoned. Over the 60s and 70s, a great many of the graves were dug up. The gravestones were knocked down. The ones that are still here are all in disarray. It's horribly overgrown. You have to walk through the woods to get here. And it is the kind of a classic place where just ghost stories would just kind of pop up out of nowhere. It's spooky to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
And people would come here drunk and smoking God only knows what. So it's natural that the ghost stories came up. But also, there certainly is a creepy vibe about the place that I really can't deny even myself.
Yeah, there's something about this place that really, really does. It's really unsettling.
So. And I guess that other people from the Weird Chicago crew are actually going to be on TV talking about the place. One of those most scariest or most terrifying. I think I've made my opinion on those shows pretty clear over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I've been offered to go on a lot more of them than I've actually gone on. My kind of criteria is when people ask is like, will they make me sound like a complete idiot? And the answer is almost always yes.
Yeah, they always do.
That's
that.
What they do. But okay, well, now we're kind of turning around. We're walking up towards the pond in all of its splendor.
Mm-hmm.
I would not get into this pond for anything. This kind of brings me to Ken's story. Just about a month after the first podcast was recorded, Hector and I were doing a tour together. We were down at Hull House. I got a phone call from Ken, who was here at Bachelor's Grove with the Midlothian sheriff and a newspaper reporter. And Ken was all freaked out. He says that he had been over by one of the graves and started kind of going into one of his psychic trances that he claims to have.
Right.
Which, I've only seen once or twice, but it's pretty spooky when it happens.
Yeah.
But he started going, there was a kid here. He lost something. He lost some money. And kind of the newspaper said he kind of looked like he lost it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wandered out and waded into the pond. Mm-hmm. Now, for those of you, you can't see it, obviously, but it looks like there's about 50 different diseases floating around in here. Not to mention rumors of snapping turtles who might have bit his wiener off or something.
Aww.
So he waded out into the pond, thinking there was a kid here. He lost some money, ducked his hand down into it, and fished out of the muck at the bottom of the pond an old silver dollar or a half dollar.
Yeah.
I forget which of the two it was. There's
it was
a picture of it, I think, in the Weird Chicago book.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you look on my webpage and navigate around at the Your Neighborhood Gives Me the Creeps page, there's a photo of it there. That's his story. My only way to say my best defense for him is that if he wanted to just pull a trick like that, he could have just buried the thing and gotten just as good an effect.
Oh, no doubt.
Without risking getting his wiener bit off by snapping turtles.
Well, truth be told, that's not the way Ken operates.
No.
if Ken didn't plan it, and if it wasn't a psychic trance, it was a heck of a coincidence.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah, I know Troy said, I think you guys just kind of planted that there the week before. So it's like, he never would have found
it. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really a disgusting pond.
I know.
I don't know about, there's always rumors that Al Capone used to dump bodies in here. I don't think that's true.
Al Capone has dumped a body everywhere
pretty
in
every
the city.
Every block in Chicago.
Yeah, and it's always on an old Indian burial ground.
Right.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's kind of a very American thing. If you don't have an actual good story for a ghost, you just go fall back on Indian burial grounds.
Exactly.
In England, they usually use abandoned monastery where a nun was walled up inside of the place.
Oh,
we have that here too, but it's more of a British thing.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had that at the shopping mall when I was a kid.
No kidding.
Said to be built on the grounds of a monastery. And it actually was built on the grounds of a monastery, I found out. There was a group of Trappist monks that owned the land before.
We don't have anything like that where I grew up. The only thing we had was like several houses who you never go into, mostly because they're crackheads. So
yeah,
it was. But it's like there was a couple places where it was like they were kind of freaky. Humboldt Park is where I grew up, and there was like three or four houses. I don't remember any of them specifically, but you made sure you did not get near them. So
it's bubbling by your foot.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's a person talking for those of you listening.
That's,
unless there's another voice here.
Is there another voice?
You want to introduce yourself a little bit?
I'm Hector's stepfather. My name is Bill. And this is very interesting. Ask me if I believe in spirits. Yes. Good spirits and bad spirits. So I'm in good company.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. This is good.
I believe in spirits, too. I drink.
I went there. Yeah.
Hector will always go there.
I'm actually very close to the pond at this
point. Yeah, we're standing on the banks.
And,
I don't see any snapping turtles, that's good.
I did see movement.
No way, there's something out there.
Yeah.
There's stuff moving out there.
Yeah. You'll see it every so often.
What you can see are the water underneath all of the gunk and the pond scum.
Yeah. It's messed up when you got gunk and pond scum, and that is what's the clean portion of the pond. It's disgusting.
Right.
Yeah. So.
There's also a rumor, I'm trying to look up and see if I can see anything. There's a rumor that Richard Crowe, one of the other ghost tour guides in the city, hammered reflectors up in the trees that would make, like, flashing lights to freak people out.
Aww.
That's not really his style.
Yeah, even rape. We got more people near us.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what stories have you guys heard about the pond? We're doing a podcast right now.
Well, go ahead. What did I tell you?
All right. I heard that back, what was the date?
Right? Al Capone.
Yeah, but what was year?
I don't know.
Probably the 1920s and 30s.
Yeah. All
right.
That's when he was here.
All right. Well, around there, I guess. He would,
take his body, he's in the car.
Yeah.
There is an interstate right over there, so it would be a very easy body dump. You just kind of pull over, kick the stiff out the window, not to put too fine a point on it, and it would drop right into the pond.
Especially if they had cement blocks to their feet, they'd sink
right
to the bottom.
They'd sink right down.
Then there's the one of the farmer and his horses.
Yeah, there is also stories of a farmer and it being dragged into this pond by a horse.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the ghost of that has been seen many times. Now, Hector has got his pendulum out. Hector, you want to tell us about your pendulum?
Okay, I'm not an expert on the pendulum, but what it is...
It's a crystal on a chain.
It's a crystal on a chain, obviously. Mine is actually it's got an imperfection in it. And it's in tune to me. It's made of quartz. And I ask the questions yes or no, and I'm also able to track things with it as well. I can, just a quick example, pendulum, give me your yes. And you'll notice it starts to spin around. Starts clockwise. And then I say pendulum neutral, and it'll stop. And I'll say pendulum, give me your no. And it'll start going back and forth to let me know that that's the no, pendulum neutral. Now, what I usually do in this case is I start saying, pendulum, in which direction should I walk to see if there's a spirit nearby? And it's starting actually point towards me.
Towards you or back into the cemetery,
it's going
I guess.
Back into the, it's going back into the cemetery and apparently this is, something major is happening.
Yeah, okay. Guys, this is part of why Hector and I made such a great team because, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who, you know, wants to stand there talking to rocks. I don't even like using EMF meters or anything myself, but Hector is not afraid to talk to a rock.
Is that actually like a Wiccan tradition?
It's a pagan, actually. But yeah, Wiccan, mm-hmm. Pagans, yeah. Yep. There's a lot of different cultures that use pendulums, like the Indian culture uses it as well, both Native American and the other one.
India.
Yeah. So, I don't want to get racist here, so yeah.
Right.
But thank you for your time. You want to give your names?
Sure. Jackie and...
Vince.
Jackie and Vince, thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, be on the lookout for the box. There's a box hidden in the cemetery where everybody that's here signs it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, and that's under a tree trunk over here. Or it was last time I was looking for it. Right. Yeah.
It's
just from letterboxing, it's called.
Yeah.
It's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks.
It's interesting how these roots have...
Yeah, the roots on the ground kind of turn into a staircase.
Yeah, it's
that's pretty nifty.
It's kind of convenient.
Yeah.
It's the best way to describe it for me.
More people hanging around. Quite a few people today.
Yeah. Well,
as we get into the Halloween season, there's going to be a lot of people hanging around here.
Yeah. One of the things that you notice is the cemetery is extremely quiet. Even though we're in the middle of a forest preserve, you can barely hear any sounds from inside.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing you notice is that there are no birds flying over us. That's another unusual thing about
right.
Yeah.
Afternoon, guys.
Hello.
So if you stay here long enough, you will never, ever, ever see a bird fly over it.
Yeah. I'm going to go read this stone here. This looks like a rather verbose stone. Okay. Oh, yeah, this is the most recent one. This is the most recent burial. Robert E. Shields was buried here in 1989. I think that's about the only burial here in, really, since the 50s.
Wow.
And this is the Shields gravestone. It's in two pieces. There's the marker. There's the marker on the ground and the marker that used to be on top of that part that has now fallen over or been knocked over.
Ooh, I'm going to get a chill.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
I hate it when that happens. I hate it when it happens here because it's creepy here.
And we got some broken bottles and stuff on the ground to show that the beer blasts have not stopped. This is why the cops will kick people out of here at dusk, especially this time of year. Here we have the deck grave. This is also in two or possibly three pieces, actually. Now, three of the decks, the deck, Jacob Deck, who died in 1915, and then Mary, Joseph, and Jenny, who all died in 1921.
That's interesting.
Joseph Nicholas, Jenny Nicholas, and Mary D. Deck. I don't know what the story behind that is, but I'd like to find out.
Where's O'Shea?
I imagine they all died at once.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, do you have a camera with you?
I do.
You mind taking some pictures here?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Mm-hmm. The story is probably known.
Well, Joseph and Jenny were actually born on the same year, interestingly enough.
Yeah, they could be twins.
Mm-hmm.
They were both born in 1871.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to Mary, who was born in 1841.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Mother.
Yeah.
Right. Jacob, probably the father, who died 6 years before the others.
And here's an interesting note. I just wanted to point this out. Okay, so Jacob died in 1915. Mary, Joseph, and Jenny all died 6 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Three people, 666. Interesting.
Oh, man.
Come on.
Come on. Oh. See, this is, you know, Hector's a lot more likely to reach for these kind of things than I am.
Yeah, but you know what? It makes a quality entertainment.
Oh, sure.
That's what I do. I'm the entertainer. You're the researcher.
Right. And this place has been exhaustively researched over the years. I know if there is a story that could be dug up about the Deck family, I imagine it probably has been.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a lot we don't know about the place, too. We don't know how many graves there may have been here at one point.
Oh, yeah. How many Scott Grinstones were just completely destroyed and obliterated.
Right. Because almost none of them are actually standing upright anymore.
No doubt.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
How bored would you have to be to knock over a gravestone?
Seriously. And I don't even know. Well, I just keep picturing people, like, headbutting into it or something.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Sure.
We're doing a podcast about it right now.
We're doing a podcast right now. I'm with Weird Chicago. I'm actually a Chicago historian by trade. It was just a basic, actually functioning cemetery for a long time, up through about the 40s or 50s. But then in about the 60s, it was a very popular place for kids to sneak in, get drunk, and knock stuff over.
Right. And that's like why.
And dig bodies up, too. And that's a lot of where the ghost stories come from. A lot of them probably do also just come from people who were out of their minds on acid in here.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no bodies in here?
There are bodies left, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There are still certainly bodies. Okay. Nobody knows exactly how many are left. A lot of them got... quite a few of them did get dug up in the 60s or 70s. In the mid-60s, they found that there had been a bonfire here, and they found coffin handles and hinges in the bonfire. Early 70s, they caught 7 kids digging up a body. But at this point, the gravestones are in such disarray, I wouldn't even know where to start digging.
I'm not thinking about digging up any dead bodies.
Well, no, I mean, like, you know, I haven't smelled anything too bad this week. Give me a shovel and a flashlight.
But, like, okay, some of these, like, tombstones are really new.
The most recent tombstone is the one over there from 1989. The others, I guess, a lot of them do get cleaned up occasionally. There's a group, bachelorsgrove.org, that tries to keep the place pretty well maintained. So at one point, it was nothing but garbage and graffiti out here.
Right.
It's been cleaned up fairly well since then. There's still garbage and graffiti, but what have you guys heard about the place?
That it's just haunted. Like, we came here before, but it wasn't.
Yeah, you ever seen anything here? Any ghosts?
No.
Me neither.
No. He threw a rock at, like, the gate. And it was, like, 2 in the morning, and I screamed, and my girlfriend and me and her, we were screaming, and we booked it out of here.
Yeah.
And he's like, I threw a rock, girls, it's okay. He's from Tennessee, so he thought he was going to be all funny and scare us. And
yeah.
Yeah, that never goes well.
Oh, no.
never goes well.
There is a story that the gate is guarded by some kind of a guardian spirit, but giving just how, I don't think it's possible to desecrate a cemetery more than this one has been desecrated.
Right.
So it would have to be a terrible guardian.
Either a terrible guardian or he's out to lunch or something.
Right.
I wouldn't understand why would someone, like, you go to other cemeteries.
I don't know. This would have been a small, even further out of the way town at the time. It's secluded enough that people could sneak in here before the cops really got wise to it and started guarding it a lot more. They could sneak in, get wasted, and trash the place. And it was a smaller town then, and, you know, there wasn't anything better to do.
Yeah.
They didn't have cable TV yet.
True.
Yeah, I can't imagine what possessed people to do that either. I mean, I've lived in small towns, but if somebody came up to me and said, "Hey, we're gonna go dig up a body," like, you guys have fun with that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just be over here calling the police.
Yeah,
I drank a lot of alcohol, not enough to make me go, "Hey, I'm gonna desecrate a grave."
Yeah, I think I would have to drink enough so much that I would not be able to handle a shovel at that point.
I've woken up with people that I probably shouldn't have, but not desecrate a grave. That's the way I look at it. Especially that one guy. That was horrifying. Yeah, he didn't call me anymore, darn it.
Yeah.
Miss you, Jake.
Well, you know, it's kind of an ironic thing, though. You look around, you know, I can see about half a dozen people or so. This is probably one of the most visited cemeteries in the city now.
And yet they're going to destroy it.
Yeah, that's rumor has it that they've targeted it for just getting rid of it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Which, because, you know, it's too much waste of manpower for the police, for one thing. They have to spend all their time out here around Halloween.
Mm-hmm. It's likely people are going to still come here, though.
Oh, people will still come.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not like they've never torn up a cemetery before. I mean, all of Lincoln Park was a burial ground. Really, everything down south as far as Chicago Avenue from there was a cemetery at one point. And a great many of the bodies are still there.
Yeah. But don't they have to get permission, like, so far back?
No.
Not really?
No.
Oh, really?
Not especially with this, trying to find a living relative of anybody who's buried here would be pretty tricky at this point.
Now, with the infant?
The infant, the Fultons. There were still people around here who remembered old Granny Fulton still living in town when they were kids. Granny Fulton, that's what they called her. Yeah. Infant daughter was, I guess, a stillborn baby who wasn't ever named.
Oh.
You know, death and childbirth, stillborn babies, infant mortality back in those days was a lot higher than it is now.
Right. Sorry for, like, bugging you.
Oh, sure.
No, that's fine.
This is why we're here. This is why we do all of this research, now that I'm not doing too many tours anymore. But,
oh, I heard something about a key. My sister told me. A key in a lake, and if you go ever get, like, the lake, you... Or if you get in the house, you never come out. But it was my
okay, there is a house that people see, like, off in the distance, and it kind of appears and disappears. I've had people on my tours swear to me that they've actually had picnics outside of the house, or they did when they were kids. As far as anyone knows, the house never actually existed, though, and one of the stories is that if you go in, you'll never come out. I haven't heard any variations about the key sitting in the lake, but that's kind of cool. It's it's like something out of a fantasy novel, though. Mm-hmm. Or a Zork game, more likely.
Zork game, yeah.
That's something I would expect to see in one of those old text adventures, you know. Enter a lake.
Yeah.
Search lake. You found a key.
Yeah. If you take the key, go to page 135.
Watch out for the menacing werewolf. Of course. Of course.
All right, folks, that's all for right now, but be sure to tune into the next episode in which Adam and Hector get hopelessly lost in the woods outside of Bachelor's Grove Cemetery. This has been Chicago Unbelievable. Check us out online at chicagounbelievable.com.